The Rams are back where they belong, where it all began in 1946. The last 20 years have been a bad dream. Now, it's time for the Ramble On Podcast. Here are your hosts, Steve Mason and Ryan Abraham.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Ramble On Podcast. I'm Steve Mason from ESPN Los Angeles and the Mason Ireland Show, and joined here by Ryan Abraham from USCFootball.com as we continue to get ready for the return of the Los Angeles Rams. I grew up a Los Angeles Rams fan, and one of my all-time favorite players is online with us right now, the great Hall of Famer, Jack Youngblood. Hey, Jack, how are you?
Better than I deserve, Brian. I mean, Steve.
Yeah.
We've made it this far, and every day is just a blessing.
Jack, are you pretty excited about the whole move for the Rams to Los Angeles?
It's about time, isn't it?
Yeah.
I've always thought that they moved for the wrong reason, and now they're moving home for the right reason. They're coming back and coming back to their, you know, to their roots. And it's kind of like the prodigal son. You know, they run away, and then at some point in time they come back, and you open them and you welcome them home with open arms.
You played your career here in Los Angeles. Did you follow the team? Did you still feel a part of the franchise when they moved to St. Louis, or did it become, for me, it became a different team? Like, I stopped rooting for the Rams when they left. How did you feel about the franchise when they moved to St. Louis?
Well, you know, we still had close relationships with the players when they moved in 95. And, I had moved up to Sacramento and was running the franchise up there in the World League. And, but we had still great, great relationships with the, you know, all the front office people. That hadn't changed. So yeah, it was disappointing when they moved. So you stayed in contact. You still watched and, you know, your heart was still there because that's who I was for 14 years, or actually 19 years. And we, you know, you have those relationships, and yet it because they moved to St. Louis, there was a little gap there between for several years of the relationship and how they viewed the old LA Rams. We had to call ourselves the old Rams. We weren't the current Rams. So that was a little bit disappointing, but you get over that and you develop new relationships, you know, in the front office and with some of the current players during those years. And they come around. They reached out and started reaching out and bringing the alumni back home, so to speak. And so that was always gratifying.
Hey, Jack, the list of accolades just goes on and on. All the things that you've done in the NFL, a 7-time Pro Bowler, and you were the team MVP 3 different years, and you're in that Rams Ring Hall of Fame. Have they talked to you at all about the new stadium and how that's going to be implemented, or has that been broached at all?
I am in the Hall of in the Ring of Fame.
That's what, according to your Wikipedia page, that's what it says.
Oh, good. All right. I'm sorry.
You know, there's so many.
Hey, were you not there for your Ring of Fame celebration?
No.
Interesting. Well, maybe, you know, can't always trust what Wikipedia says, but that's.
Yeah, I know. No, that's going to be interesting. I mean, that's something that they certainly have to take into consideration, because the LA fan base is so hardcore from the you know, from the 60s, and you still got people that remember the 60s. We're fortunate enough that they remember us in the 70s and 80s, in half of the 90s. So, yeah, they're going to have to take some consideration about how they present that.
All right. Well, I got to ask you about, first of all, I rooted for the Rams throughout the 70s. So I watched you play every single Sunday. And that, you know, I just hated the Vikings because, you know, the Vikings always seemed to be the team that screwed up the Rams. I wonder how you felt about that. I mean, I don't remember the exact number of times, but it seems like the Vikings, although they didn't win a Super Bowl, they seem to be like the hurdle that that we couldn't get by.
Absolutely. I hate them. I hate them to this day. In fact, I still, when we go to places like when we went to the Super Bowl this past year, yeah, I was looking for Tarkington. I'm still on the lookout for that boy.
What, you want to sack him now?
Yeah, I would absolutely clothesline him. In fact, we were inducted into the Georgia Florida Hall of Fame that game that we play every year here.
Right.
We had a reception, and he was at the reception, and I came in a little bit late, and my wife and I, and I saw Francis, and he didn't see me, and he was carrying on a conversation, and I just walked up and kind of eased in up next to him and put my arm around his neck, and I said, I told the boys, I said, I've been wanting to do this for a long time.
That's
and
awesome.
He just laughed. Yeah.
And then the year
he was a hell of a player.
Oh, great player. The year you got to the Super Bowl then, it felt like the season I wouldn't have expected to get there because it was Chuck Knox was gone, Ray Malvasi was the coach, Pat Hayden got hurt, and Vince Ferragamo wound up being the quarterback. Isn't it weird? Pro football is weird because you don't necessarily get there the year that you think you're going to get there. What was that playoff run like?
Well, you remember we got the door slammed in our face four times, either by Minnesota or Dallas. And in 79, we were not as good a football team as the 76, 77, 78, bunch. And we got beat by Minnesota one time because of the, a bad snap and dropped the ball on the punt and got a kick, blocked. Dallas beat us one time kind of bad. And so we knew we were a good franchise. We knew we had a good team. And we had confidence in that. We just couldn't get through that last door. And it was interesting how 79 was, I think we were 9-7 in 79.
Yep. It was 9-7. You're absolutely right.
And we had to go to Dallas. So we're thinking, oh goodness, we got to do this again. You know, here we go. So when we get there, and we beat Roger and the Cowboys and with that Billy Waddy, throw over the middle from Vinny.
Yeah.
And that puts us into the championship again. And I believe that was our fourth time in the championship game.
And that was the Tampa game, right? That was the 9-0 game.
That was the Tampa, right. Right. And that put us into Tampa, and we're celebrating. I mean, we knew, now we have a real chance. And if we screw this up, somebody needs to rework this thing somehow.
Well, and at this point, Jack, at this point, you get to the Super Bowl, and you become, you know, this is like, it goes down. I think NFL Network named it one of the 10 guttiest performances in NFL history. You played that game with a broken fibula. Describe how you handled that injury, like when, because you, I think you played with it in a couple of playoff games too. Describe the injury and how you were able to get through that.
Well, that's one of the unfortunate things that happened in my career. And if, you know, you don't ever want to think that you have regrets about anything. And you hope you can, for the most part, control what you do and how you do it and how you perform and how you prepare. But when you have when the fibula is snapped like a pencil, it's kind of hard to play. It's kind of hard to run. It's kind of hard to, you know, rush around, Rayfield Wright. And that's what I had to do. I snapped it in the divisional playoff game. We beat Dallas. I get after Roger a couple of times and get a sack or two there, run him out of bounds a couple of times. That put us into the game in Tampa. I just was not about to go and sit on the sidelines when I wanted to go and contribute to the effort of my team. I'm the captain. That's my responsibility. If I can go and play, I'm going to go and play.
And Jack, that kind of kept your streak going, right?
I was
going
to say, Ryan, let me just jump in.
Oh, sure.
Did you take what they would say, take the needle? How did you actually manage the pain while you were playing?
You can't shoot a bone. You can use some cortisone in the knee and try to take the inflammation out of the knee and in muscle contusions and that type of thing. But you can't stop the pain in the bone, with Novocaine. So we basically just taped it up. I took a couple of aspirin and just had to make a mindset of what I was doing and how I could control that aspect of the game. And it hurt. There's no question it was painful, but the will is an interesting thing. You can will your way through that type of situation.
You took aspirin. Holy. That doesn't even help.
They were big aspirins. They were big ones.
Well, and Jack, well, that you were going on I think it was 184 game streak where you didn't miss a game, and that would have ended the streak there. I know there was a back injury that you had later on that ended up ending it, but I mean, that is that part of the reason why you wanted to keep going, is keep that streak going and not miss any games?
That didn't come into play. That wasn't part of the decision. No. If I couldn't go and be the best left defensive end on the field and help my teammates win this series that we're about to go. Because it's all about one play at a time. And if the coaches had to trust me and the doctors had to trust me that if I was not capable of getting the job done, I would take myself out of the game. So that was a huge accolade from my perspective, that they trusted me enough to realize that I did not want to hurt the team, that I was good, that I was going to do everything I possibly could do to allow us to win the ball game.
So, Jack, you get to the Super Bowl. You're playing with a broken leg, for God's sake. You got a lead at halftime against the Steelers. I really, as a Rams fan, thought, okay, we got it. What do you remember about that second half?
We walked back on that field in the second half. It was It was 1917 in the third quarter. No, it was 1917 in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
And we walked back out of the locker room at halftime, very, very confident that, and we knew going into the ball game that we could play with Steelers. And yeah, they had three rings already. And so what? This is a new ball game. We knew who we were, and we had confidence in that. I try to tell people all the time, and you know, since then, that it wasn't so much that we lost the ball game, but the Steelers went and won the football game. They went and made the plays they had to make to win the ball game. And we didn't make those plays in the fourth quarter to get the job done.
Hey, Jack, as far as the game goes nowadays, obviously it's a little different than the 70s and 80s. And I don't know how close.
No, it's a lot different.
A lot different? What are your thoughts on how the game's
evolved?
Yeah,
what do you think is different about it, Jack?
Yeah.
Oh, you don't want to get me started on that one.
Actually, no, that's why we called you. We wanted to get you started on it.
it's a completely different game from defensive end's perspective. I mean, they play two plays and they come out of the ball game. And the coaches say they all talk about, well, we're managing your energy. And I'm going, well, if you had enough energy, if I'm the best defensive lineman on the team, why are you taking me out of the game? Why don't I have enough energy? Why am I not in shape enough to get the third down play done? I just did the first and second down. That mentality and they use all different type of terminology trying to justify how they manage the game today. Merlin, if I'd have held up my hand and come off the field, Merlin Olsen would have kicked my fanny. There's no way he would have let me do that. And he wouldn't have done it. Deacon wouldn't have done that. We loved to play the game, and we conditioned ourselves because we loved it so much. We conditioned ourselves. We knew that we had to have a 60 to 70 to 75 play ability. Not 30. That's not the game.
So then, Jack, do you think? I mean, I guess it's fair to say, and you're suggesting that the modern NFL player is soft.
No, he's not soft. He's not soft. They're tremendous athletes, and they work hard for that perspective of the game. But they don't work the whole game. That's my point. If I was coaching, I'm going to have my best players in condition enough to where they don't have to come off the field unless they're injured. And the injury is a different thing, but conditioning is a whole different aspect.
Jack, you talk about conditioning. One of the big hot button topics about people coming out of games is obviously with the CTE and the brain injuries and the concussions. And I know you're doing work down there in Florida. Maybe you can kind of explain what you're doing there and your thoughts on, you know, how the game is evolving that way as far as dealing with concussions.
Well, it's a very serious aspect of the game that. There's been a lot of understanding of what we did to ourselves and over the course of years and time. And concussions are a severe problem today because they lay in your brain. If they haven't been addressed, they lay there and then they create these symptoms that just destroy the quality of life. And so I've got a therapy that I've done. It tremendously helped me. And we're trying to develop a network across the country that we can let players have this therapy so that we can try and make those ugly symptoms of the concussions that we had go away.
Hey, do you think, I work with a guy named Marcellus Wiley and of course played in the NFL for the Chargers and the Bills. And he says he believes he has some degree of CTE. Have you ever thought about that for yourself? I mean, I know you're working in therapy and you're actually working with a company that is creating sort of places where former NFL players who are suffering from dementia can retire and go. Have you thought about all that for yourself?
Absolutely. I mean, there's no question that there's numbers that are flying around out there about, you know, how many concussions did you have? And what most people don't understand, and I firmly believe a lot of doctors don't understand, that when you see stars, and you can bump your head, you know, riding a bicycle, and it kind of rattles you a little bit, and you kind of see stars there for a little bit, but you get up and you go on and you go about your business. That's a concussion. We had those every day of a practice, not counting the ball games, and you don't know how many you had in the ball games. In fact, I tell everybody all the time. I said. To counter that during a ball game, I carried two ammonia caps in my belt. We had little holes in our belt, and I'd carry those ammonia caps. And if you got your bell rung a little bit, or you saw stars, you cracked that ammonia cap and cleared your head, wow, and you played the next play. But that was because we didn't want to come off the field at that point in time. We realized the damage that we did, but because we loved to play, that's what people really don't understand. There's only so many people in the world that had the opportunity to play the game, play our game at this level for a long time.
Jack,
it's so special. You didn't want to miss it.
Do you like the protocols now, like what they're doing to try to protect the players? Do you agree with the steps that are being taken?
I don't like what they're doing. They've taken the quarterback out of the ballgame for the most part. I mean, there's and I question sometimes, and I mean, the commissioner will probably call me if he hears this, but but. They have people making in the booth making decisions on whether this play was a penalty or whether it's not a penalty, and they've never played the game. That bothers me because I've seen Jared Allen, you know, come around the corner and make a play, and because the two bodies were in the same basic position, his helmet hits the quarterback, and he gets penalized. He gets fined. He loses money because of the physics of the game, not because he was viciously trying to hit the quarterback in the head. But it was because of the speed, the physicality of a pass play, and they make those decisions. And I think they need to improve on that. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, let me ask you one last thing, Jack. You backed up Deacon Jones as a rookie, if I have that right. I got to know Deacon, a little bit, when we were doing shows here, in the '90s, and he was just, what a fantastic guy he was.
Fantastic.
He always, I love that guy.
Yeah.
He always said that if they were keeping track of sacks during his whole career, that he would have had more than anybody in history. Do you agree with that?
Yep. And to be honest with you, I was Deacon's protege, and he taught me so much about playing the game. Both he and Merlin, at one point in time in that rookie year, came up to me, well, early on, both of them did early on, and said, put the arm around my neck and said, son, you can play the game, but we're going to teach you how to play the game. I didn't know how to play. I didn't know how to play at that level with Deacon Jones and Merlin Olsen. And I give him so much credit of taking a kid you gotta think about this, who was about to take his job, and he still had that type of compassion to want to teach me how to play the way he played the game. And he probably had 200 and something.
Wow.
I would imagine. He would be, and it's all on film. It's not on a DVD anymore, because we didn't have DVDs then, but it's all on film. And I think there's been some research done, and in fact, a friend of mine, John Turney, I think he's verified like over 200 sacks.
Wow.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Well, you had 151 and a half. That's not bad.
Guy. We had so much fun with him on our shows. I mean, funny and great stories, and just a great big larger than life personality. What a fantastic guy!
And what a fantastic way to bring a child out of Gainesville, Florida, Monticello, Florida, and take him out of Florida all the way to California. And he's a defensive end, and I get to work with Deacon Jones. I mean, what a blessing that was.
Yeah. Well, listen, Jack, we love having you, and we're excited that the Rams are coming back, obviously, and it will be fun to see you. You mentioned Deacon Jones and the mark he left. Trust me, man, when I was growing up, you left a mark, man. Everybody I know knows that Super Bowl, and everybody I know knows that you played with a broken leg, and we're amongst the guttiest players in the history of the game. So we appreciate you spending a couple of minutes with you. And I guess will we see you at the Coliseum?
Oh, I'm walking down that tunnel one more time.
Awesome, man. That's awesome.
I just don't want to have cleats on.
Yep. Not this time.
Not this time.
Thanks a lot for coming on. We really appreciate it, man.
Our pleasure. My pleasure. Anytime, boys. You know that.
Thanks, Jack.
All right.
Steve, man, that's pretty cool. He was obviously a Hall of Famer, 151 and a half sacks for Jack Youngblood. But if Merlin Olsen, Merlin Olsen and just
Deacon Jones, he said it had over 200.
200 sacks. I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah. Well, Deacon always talked about the head slap. He had the thing. They wouldn't allow that now. He used to do this thing called the head slap, which is just no longer kind of what Jack was referencing. You know, the game has changed so much. And He talked about wanting to be out there every single play, and now we've got NFL players who are more specialists and guys who, you know, are playing 30 plays. You know, nobody's going out there for 60, 70, 80 plays anymore. Everybody is getting spelled, and I think Jack is like, that's not the way we used to do it. No. But, man, what a tough-ass son of a bitch he was. I'll tell you what.
And how cool is that, guy, that he's going to come down the tunnel again? He wants to come down the tunnel one more time. That's really cool.
How much fun will that be? Yeah. All right. Well, we should let people know, Ramble On Podcast every single week. The website is rambleonpodcast.com. We're available on iTunes now, right?
Yes, we're on iTunes. Just search for Ramble On Podcast. You can find it there.
And you can reach me on Twitter at Venice Mace, M-A-S-E, and Ryan is at Inside Troy.
Yes.
When are you going to get a more Ram-centric Twitter handle?
I probably need a more generic one because I do the USC stuff, and you're the L.A. guy, so that makes sense for you, living in Venice and everything. But, yeah, maybe I need to do a more just kind of L.A. one as far as instead of a USC-specific one.
Yeah, yeah. But fun. I appreciate it, man, and we had a good time. I think that's one of the cool things about the Rams coming back is that we get to talk about, some of the team's great legendary players, like some of those names he mentioned, Billy Waddy. I mean, I remember him as a wide receiver, Nolan Cromwell, tremendous cornerback. Those teams were so much fun. The running backs, I mean, Wendell Tyler was on that, despite the fact that he was a UCLA guy, I still rooted for him. on that Super Bowl team. I mean, just great names and great history and a lot of fun to talk about. And seeing some of those guys come through that tunnel again will be really, really special, especially, you know, not just for them, but for Rams fans here in Los Angeles who've missed them and are excited about the team's return.
Yeah. So,
by the way, big news today too.
Gonna play in China.
Rams are the team on Hard Knocks.
Yeah, Hard Knocks is cool. Going to play in China in 2018. I guess that's cool. Are we going to go? Should we go to the game? We take the podcast on the road.
Yeah, I've always wanted. Ireland went to China with the Lakers. I would love to go to China.
Oh yeah.
But Hard Knocks. That means we're going to get a really specific inside look at the way the entire team is built and constructed. I mean, by the time they hit the field, we're going to know that team pretty well. We're going to know the personalities. We're going to know the storylines. I think it's going to be just a lot of fun to see them on Hard Knocks. I was glad they made that decision. I kind of campaigned for it on Twitter. I was like, come on, we want the Rams on Hard Knocks. Let's see who our team's going to be. So that'll be fun, too.
Yeah.
All right, thanks a lot for listening to the Ramble On Podcast, and we will talk to you next week. Thanks, Ryan.
Thank you, Steve.